To call this final chapter of Jonah a love story may surprise you, but that's exactly what it is. In this chapter, we see the love of God wonderfully expressed. First to Jonah, a very disobedient and stubborn servant of God. But then also to the people of Nineveh, a great nation. When we look at Jonah in chapter 4, we know that Jonah is obviously way out of line as far as God is concerned at this time. His story so far, and I'm sure you remember it in your own mind, was that God had sent him to go to Nineveh. But Jonah, in a huge act of defiance, decided instead to catch the boat going in the opposite direction to Tarshish in Spain. So God provided or sent a great storm and a great fish to get Jonah on course again. And it worked. Jonah then went to Nineveh, and there he did what he'd been told to do. He preached the judgment of God against that great city. And the city repented en masse, crying out to God for forgiveness. And this, however, did not please Jonah. In fact, it made him very angry. He had this huge anger in his heart against the Assyrians, who had badly and cruelly treated his people over the decades. And he could not bear, he could not bear seeing them with this chance of avoiding the just punishment that he knew they deserved and he felt they should have. And yet, even as he sat there on the hill and waited, he knew in his heart this wasn't going to happen. And he knew it would not happen because of the compassionate nature of God. Because God abounded in love. So we find Jonah at the beginning of chapter 4 as an extremely angry person. He can't forgive and he can't forget. He is not remorseful, not one bit, about fleeing from the orders of God. In fact, he feels quite justified regarding his evil attitude towards this evil enemy. And in a fit of rage, we find Jonah talking to God. And he tells God, basically, well, this is just what I said would happen. I told you so. This is just what I said will go on. And he says to Jonah, look, God, I knew you would do this. And if you're going ahead with this ridiculous plan of saving these terrible people, then take my life instead. Because I just do not want to be part of it. I'm that angry. Look at Jonah chapter 4, 1-3. We've just had this read to us. And as you look through those words, you can see that's exactly what I've just told you was the scene there. And it's pretty bad, isn't it? When it gets to the point where someone is saying, it's better for me to die than to live at this point. So filled up with his emotions was Jonah at this stage. Now, all this doesn't mean that Jonah was a particularly bad guy. In fact, he was a very religious guy. He's a prophet. It doesn't mean he was a bigoted Jew who hated all Gentiles. In fact, if you read back in chapter 1, and in that storm, there was all these heathen sailors on board that boat that Jonah was on, and he convinced them to throw him overboard simply to save their own lives. That's not the act of a bigoted Jew. What we have in Jonah is a deeply religious man. Really religious. He was so overcome by the hatred and enmity that he felt towards these Assyrians that he dared to challenge his God. That's how far he had got. That's how serious it became to Jonah. He dared to challenge God's compassionate and loving nature. It's okay for you to be compassionate and loving God, but in this case, You've got it wrong. Maybe you can sympathise with Jonah. Perhaps you too, at times, have found yourself extremely angry. Angry with other people. Angry because they hurt you. Angry because they've hurt others. Angry because they've hurt people that you've loved. Angry because of the way they act. Angry because of their disregard for everything which is pure and honest and loving. And angry with God too, because of that. And angry with God because you're out of sync with his way of doing things. You don't agree with it. You're rebellious. You're cross. You're disobedient. You're even wanting to die rather than stick with God's plans. Now, if so, then you need to know how God continued to love Jonah. Because that is so important. He continued to love him so much. Did you notice that in that chapter? He stayed with Jonah. In Jonah's angry and bitter phase, where was God? Next to him. Where was God? Talking to him. If you read through the whole of chapter 4, you will find that it's not mentioned that God ever raised his voice in angry condemnation at Jonah. That's the love of God for Jonah. You see, Jonah already knew that God abounded in love. He told us that, didn't he? But now he's experiencing, well, he probably doesn't realize it, but he's experiencing God abounding in love to him, to Jonah. Isn't that amazing? This is the love story in Jonah chapter 4. This is a story of a love that never lets us go. The song we sing, it is still my favourite at the moment. There's nothing I can do to scare your grace away. I just love those words. No foolish thing I do. And we all do foolish things, and Jonah's been foolish. He didn't realise it. He was justified. He fell. No foolish thing I say. Even as Jonah sat on that hill outside Nineveh and yearned for the destruction of these people, God provided a plant, and then he provided a worm, and then he provided a great scorching, humid heat, you know, like those hot winds we get sometimes. And then he followed that all with a gentle voice, just to let Jonah know that God's love never gives up on anyone, be they a disobedient prophet or an evil enemy. It's very helpful, I think, to see in this chapter that there is a connection between anger and compassion. Jonah was angry when that plant that had come up so quickly and given him shelter. He was angry when that plant died. In fact, God said to him, "Have you got a right to be angry?" He said, "I've got a right to be angry enough to die over this plant." He was angry over the worm that had killed it. So there was a sense with the anger of him having compassion for this plant that had died, being sorry for it. But the reason he felt sorry for the plant? Because the plant's death affected Jonah. The death of that plant made life extremely uncomfortable for Jonah. Would he have worried if it hadn't? Not at all. But because it made life uncomfortable for him, he was very angry because it died. Jonah, in a sense, was a little bit like that unjust judge in the parable that Jesus told. Remember that parable? There was this unjust judge who wasn't a very nice man at all. And there was this widow who needed justice. She needed it desperately. So she came to the judge. Right place to go. But the judge wasn't interested in her. She was small fry. He didn't want to be concerned with her. And so he just ignored her. But when her constant pleas to him, when she was always there knocking the door, whenever he turned, she was there. When he went outside, she was there. When that started to make life miserable for him, then what does he do? He cares enough about her woes to fix the problem. So Jonah, he only cared about the death of the plant, was angry about it, because it affected him. So he had that compassion for that plant that he didn't have for the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in Nineveh, including children, who were about to be destroyed, as far as he was concerned. Because you see, the death and the coming judgment of God upon those people would not make life any worse for Jonah. He could live with that. Indeed, it could only make life better, because he would have felt exonerated in his own belief, in his own preaching. He would have felt that they deserved God's judgment. And you know, quite honestly, Jonah couldn't understand why God couldn't be as angry at these hated Assyrians who raped and pillaged the villages of Israel for years and years and years as he was. So here we see God. What does God do? He lovingly reminds Jonah that although as God, as a holy God, he is angry. He's angry at the sinful ways of these Assyrian people. He's angry enough to visit them with his wrath and judgment if they do not repent and seek his forgiveness. But he is also by nature abound in love and compassion. And there is not one human being from any nation or tribe that he does not love, and that he does not desire to draw to himself, if only they will seek him with repentance and sorrow. And this is the other great love story in Jonah chapter 4. That almighty, holy God is abounding in love to all people, despite their evil rebellion against him. And he wants us who have experienced that love. He wants us who know forgiveness. It wants us who have been saved from hell fire, because not of our good deeds, but because we have believed on Jesus Christ. He wants us, his servants, to aim for that same compassion to all people. Told by Elaine Baker the other day about a story that she had seen on TV and I had missed, about this church, this supposedly Baptist church in America, where the pastor is proclaiming that God is more of a God of wrath than a God of love. And the church, where little children are walking around with these signs upon which is calling for God's wrath and God's judgment upon specific groups of people in their society. And when I heard that story, my first thought was of Jonah. That's what he's doing. And I thought to myself that that church has got it just as wrong as Jonah had it wrong. But then I thought about myself, and I realized that though I might not be holding up signs that calls upon God's wrath and judgment upon these people in society, if I am not doing all I can with what I have, my resources, my talents, my abilities, my time, to reach people with the gospel, then I too am allowing them to face God's judgment without maybe first having a chance to benefit from his love. See, we all need, don't we? We all need to work at being as compassionate as God is in our approach to those who are not walking close to him, to those that we don't really like very much, to those that we can ignore because they're not affecting our lives, to those who live so far away that we can forget them, to those who live so close and yet we walk past without really seeing them. We need to work at being as compassionate as Jesus. You know, one of the songs we sometimes sing is a prayer. In fact, we'll be singing it next week. It's entitled, More Like Jesus. And one of the verses says, Lord, you are compassionate and never-ending love. Now, if we're singing that we want to be more like Jesus, we've got to be like that. Compassionate and never-ending love. And we've experienced it through his redemption and his precious blood. We need to share it and think about it with others. Now, one of the best examples, I reckon, of the Lord's compassion in his ministry comes from those hours he hung upon the cross. You think about that. How compassionate he was when he was in the most severe pain that man perhaps could ever experience. When he felt the separateness from his Father. And yet he was compassionate then. You know, with him crucified were two criminals. We know that. Two violent men who would have had to have had committed horrible, horrible deeds to be crucified. You didn't crucify just anyone, you crucified the worst. Now Matthew tells us that at first, both of these men called out insults against Jesus, deriding his claim to be the Christ. But then Luke tells us that a little bit later on in the piece, that one of them suddenly realized that his own guilt, his own sin, in light of the purity and the innocence of Jesus. That they were being crucified justly, but Jesus wasn't. And he cried out to Jesus, and he said, Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now we all know what Jesus said, because we know the story, we've heard it so often, haven't we? We know that Jesus didn't turn to him then and say, You must be joking, you vile and horrible man. Just think of all those people you've hurt along the way. Those places you've robbed, those people you've beaten up, those people you've cheated. Think of the fact that you've consigned people to death without a second thought. And the things you were saying about me not that long ago, they hurt. They were cruel. They're horrible. Me help you? You're on your own, mate. Go burn in hell. Because Jesus didn't actually say that, did he? He said, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. That's the love of Jesus. That's the love of God. That's the love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's how he loves you and how he loves me. And I can never get over that. And it's how he loves you even if you're angry and cross with him and with others. It's how he loves you even if you've moved away from him and separated yourself. Is how he loves you at this very moment as he yearns for the best for you. And even as he makes you conscious of your sin and your guilt and your feeling of woeful inadequacy inside, even at the same time the Spirit makes you conscious of that, he draws you to himself because he wants to make you whole. And it's because he loves us so much that he calls us to love others as he loves them. To reach out with all that he's given us, whatever that may be. And we've given enough so much when you think about it. To share his gospel with people here in this community and in Australia and people throughout the world. On this last Sunday of Mission Month, and it's for all our lives, he calls us to be willing missionaries for him. Each one of us. Missionaries with our time. Missionaries with our talents. Missionaries with our money. Missionaries with our prayers. But especially with our lives.